Hallo und herzlich willkommen am Telestammtisch.
Nachdem er bereits auf zahlreichen Festivals gelaufen ist, erscheint Lamp am 6. Januar auch in den deutschen Kinos im regulären Release. Im Zuge der Nordischen Filmtage konnte ich den Regisseur Waldemar Johansson exklusiv interviewen und wir haben das Ganze per Zoom aufgezeichnet, weil ich nicht vor Ort sein konnte. Dementsprechend sollte es an der einen oder anderen Stelle einen tonalen Aussetzer geben, dann bitten wir das zu entschuldigen. Waldemar saß im Foyer des Kinos und dementsprechend ist die Tonqualität vielleicht an der einen oder anderen Stelle suboptimal. Ich glaube aber, ihr versteht alles. Das Interview geht rund 20 Minuten und wir hatten ein bisschen Zeit, uns über Film, über seinen Film, über seine Ansicht von Film auszutauschen und auch über die Rezeption seiner Werke. Es ist ja sein Regiedebüt, deswegen fand ich es ganz, ganz spannend, mit ihm zu sprechen und auch zu erfahren, dass er noch gar nicht so richtig eine Idee hat, was als nächstes denn kommen könnte. Und ihr werdet auch sehen, welchen unheimlichen Prozess so eine Produktion wie Lamp denn auf sich nehmen muss, um erstmal in die Lichtspielhäuser zu kommen. Ich wünsche euch ganz, ganz viel Spaß bei dem Interview mit einem sehr, sehr schüchternen und gleichzeitig unheimlich sympathischen Regisseur und ja, hoffe, wir hören uns beim nächsten Mal. Euer Videothekar, der Timo.
First question, a trick question, to be honest. How good do Cheeps or Lambs follow your directorial orders?
Actually, they, did amazing work, and I'm extremely happy with what they did, you know, because what I learned very early on when we started shooting Lamp was that if you give them time and let them feel comfortable, they usually do what you want in the end. So, but we had also amazing crew around us, farmers and animal wranglers and, big part of the crew, you know, had also come from a farm. So yeah, somehow it was easier than I had imagined somehow. I thought it would be more difficult.
Did your experience help you as a child? I read that your grandparents were
farmers. Sheep farmers. Yeah, definitely, you know, because I've been around sheep for, you know, so long time that, you know, because my grandparents, they have passed away. So, one year before, you know, we start shooting.
Okay.
I got a job on a farm and to see how it is today, you know, somehow. And, and that helped me also a lot.
Okay. Yeah, to start off with a more serious question. Lamp is your first feature-length film, but considering your work until Lamp, you did a lot of special effects work on films like Rogue One or The Tomorrow War. Does it influence you on the approach as a filmmaker? Do you have the eyes of a technician first and then of a storyteller, or how do you approach a movie?
Oh, it's just movie, because, you know, I'm usually just like a part of some team, you know. I know very little about it, I've been part of crew for like 20 years,
yeah,
and worked in almost every department, and somehow that is something that I know that was a very good school, you know, because you can learn something from every project or film or, that you are working on. And also because I know almost everybody in the film industry in Iceland, you know, so it's all just my friends, because I've been working with them for so long time. So the crew I had around me in Lamp, you know, that was just my friends. And so I felt, you know, safe being, had been working with them all. So, you know, that was very helpful.
Considering working on a very small film like Lamp and to have a very intimate crew, as you said, you're very familiar with the people. Does it influence your choice for the next project you approach?
I'm not quite sure what I will do next, and I have just started thinking about I have not somehow had time, but hopefully, you know, like next year I can manage to start working on something. So
yeah. I totally understand, because you had this big festival run, you started like almost a few months ago in Cannes. Now you're on a very small, tiny film festival here in Germany. Does it stress you a lot to think about press touring, to give interviews about a film that you made? Or is it just business as usual because you're working for so long, such a long time in the film industry?
Oh, I have to admit that, you know, it's I'm not so comfortable like doing all these interviews and talking on stage, or, you know, because, you know, it's somehow, you know, I feel that, you know, I feel that I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone, you know, when I'm doing all this. But, you know, I know that this is a part of the program somehow, so I just have to do it. And
I'm considering myself, I'm usually a teacher for students, and some people are always a little bit surprised when they say I'm a very shy person, and if I approach you something new, I'm always a bit like a quiet boy and just ask for permission or anything, and some say I'm very humble and some say I'm very shy. My parents always taught me to be this way.
But I think it took me like 3 or 4 festivals learning to, when I had the mic, I was always shaking, you know. But, you know, I've managed to, you know, have it still now, but yeah. it's strange.
But I think it's very authentic and it's very fresh for audiences to see a filmmaker not like doing business as usual, but to feel or to imagine that it feels special for you.
No, because somehow people also think that, you know, you made the film, but you should also be like an entertainer.
Yes. Yes, of course. And I think that's sometimes the wrong approach of people, that you're a director and a very outgoing personality. And I imagine sometimes that they don't understand that if I would be that expressive, I would be an actor. I need my stage, but not a big stage. The students are fine with me. I will ask some technicality questions. Was there a point when you may consider to create Ada with real makeup and practical effects, or was it always like, no, it's more cheaper and I feel more comfortable doing it digitally?
Because, you know, we have this amazing team, but somehow what we had thought also about is, you know, when you have a child and when you have a, you know, like real animals, you always get something extra, and you know, somehow we thought it would be like more real, because, you know, it's maybe you can't direct them exactly, you know, what they should do somehow. So you always get something that was not expected, and usually a lot of that stuff is give the film, or, you know, Ada, so much like personality.
Yeah. Did you put a CGI on a real child, or is it a totally CGI build for the character?
No, the children, they just had like a CGI cap.
Okay.
And then, you know, we start shooting it with the children, and then we had the lamp in. Stand in, you know, there are also like some special effect shot where they just make the hat from scratch. So, because sometimes it was not working, and, you know, but I think it's difficult for some audience to see when it's real lamp or not. And I'm extremely happy, you know, with the job. Because, if ATA would not work, you know, it, yes. The film would not work, you know.
Yes, you speaking of something, I thought about watching the movie because I'm a parent as well, and you think the two characters talk about Ada like it's a real person, it's a real child. Was that something you imagined that it would work so well, because there is special fairy tale mix in this movie, and maybe the audience won't buy the thing that there is a lamp in a mixed body? Did you expect that the audiences believe that there is a relationship between parents and a child?
Yeah, because this is also about acceptance. Somehow we believed it, you know. And I felt that, you know, also the actors, and because we wanted to have it I think we almost treated it like it was a real story. Because somehow, probably we started to believe that it was real. Because we gave it, like, you know, in the first chapter, it's probably like 40 minutes that we are just with Maria and Ingvar. And I think that was very necessary, even though I have heard that people think it's too long. But I think that part was needed. So you accept Ada somehow right away.
Yes. I think this is the thing that this movie works for me so well, because you have this build up of the relationship between Maria and Ingvar, and then in chapter two you move forward, and then the story develops, and it's, for me, it's so cool, because you can see you work with A24. We're going to talk about it if we have some time left, but to me it feels like nobody has had an influence on the decision how you made the film, how long it would take to build this relationship. Was there a time when somebody said, Valdemar, this is too long, please cut it down?
My producers, Renan Sara and Show, we were all on the same boat. We knew that we were just making a film that we wanted to see and felt that we had not seen. So we never changed anything, even though, you know, we sometimes get some advice that it would be much better to do it this way or that way, you know, the script. But if we didn't like it, then we just kept our, because this time that we give Mari and Ingvar in the beginning, it is also in the script. So, yeah, you know, I think because we were also supporting for each other, that we should just keep our track, you know, because we knew it was a risky film and we should then just do it all the way, you know, how we wanted to make it.
You always use the pronoun we. So you work with Sion. How close did you work? Did you develop the story and the script together, or was it like you had the idea and he imagined some dialogue? How could I imagine the working approach that you two had?
I started working on this mood board or lookbook, and I was collecting like paintings and I was doing drawings, and I had done a lot of drawings of Ada, and then my producers introduced me to Show, and after this meeting, we start meeting like once a week for many years. And I think we were just talking, you know, the first years, you know, and just writing down some notes. And after 5 years, we did a treatment. And when the producers were happy, Sean took over and wrote the script.
And at what point and how did A24 came into play? Was it like in the early development of the script, or was it later in the process?
No, it was almost very close to when we are finishing the film. But we were extremely happy to, you know, get them on board, you know, because, yeah, I usually, you know, I watch all the films that come from A24, and And yeah, you know, it I think it did so many good things for, you know, the film.
Yeah, a colleague of mine called A24, like, it's the holy grail and the saint for cool and ambitious movies. And I think, is it something that you would call, yes, totally 100% true? Or is it like, is it too much of a urban myth that A24 has some, leads us to more freedom, to more independence for the filmmaker? How was your feeling about that?
I think you can always expect it that you will see something different. I think that is what you get from that. You see some films that maybe you usually don't see every day. It's because they have so many kinds of film, and but they're all, you know, that they are special in their own way.
Your movie is special as well. How do you want the audience to approach this movie? You once said, I read in a short interview during your time in Cannes, that it's more like a fairy tale than a horror or suspense movie. How do you want the audience to approach to this film? Maybe they have some expectations when they read A24 and consider it to be a slow burner. What would you like to the audience to be?
I think it's not right to call it a horror film, because it is not a horror film. For me, it's more like an art house film or drama. And I think for the audience, I think they should just try to know as little as possible. Mm-hmm. Don't watch trailer or, you know, read anything about it. You know, that is the best cinema experience you can get. But, you know, I know, of course, you have to do some marketing for a film, and I'm not a specialist in that. So, you know, yeah, but, you know, I think there are so many films that, you know, are also, you can place in many genres. And Lamp is definitely not a horror film. That is, you know, you cannot just put Lamp in a horror.
Yeah. Yes, I have a problem with the labels as well. I always say, which genre? I think it's a movie. It's a good film, or it's a bad film, and not it's an action movie or it's a comic book movie. So,
why do you think it is? Is it you know? Do we have to have it so simple that it just fit into one category? Yeah,
I think it's the approach of things. When you read literature, you read novels, they always ask, oh, what genre it is, to find out if they like it or not. And I know some guys who would, when you say it's an art house movie, they would be like, oh God, no, I won't watch that. And to be open-minded is, in this special times, I think it's a very difficult thing to do. Maybe it's the school thing, because they learn to put genres and to put eras on the novels or on the plays. I don't know. I can't give you a correct answer, I guess.
For example, Titan. I don't know where it's, you know, it's there's a lot of films that I don't know where belongs to, and I think that is okay. Yeah, like you're saying, it's just a film that, you know.
Do you think the audiences around the world are more tolerant about these films to be like, this is something special, this is something you can't put in a place and do a label like, is this an action movie on it? Do you think that's got accepted in the last few years, or is it like the opposite?
I have to admit that I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
That's a difficult question. It's a difficult question. I have no answer as well. I think we're running out of time. So you said you are 20 years in the film business. How did some directors or some films influenced you the most, or do you say no? It's I'm totally open minded and I have no influence from a special director or a special movie.
I think what had most influence on me is, you know, I went two times to film school. Mm-hmm. Once before, you know, I started working in the industry. Then I went to the Icelandic Film School, and then 13 years later, then I went again to a film school in Sarajevo, Bellator.
Okay.
And I think that really changed my opened my eyes for like different films, you know, because it was so great teachers, you know. It was Pizza Pong, Carlos Segatas, Tilda Swinton, Christian Muncho, Pedro Costa, and just seeing how all these people work, and they have a different way of working. And then I just realized you always have to do it your way, and you should be very honest to yourself what you want to do. And I think that, you know, was probably the biggest influence on, you know, on me.
Yeah. Is it wrong if I say that Lamp feels for me that it's a very personal film for you? Of course, it's your first directorial film, but
yeah, you know, the story is, I can't say that it comes from maybe very personal, but somehow, you know, that my grandparents were seed farmers, and there is a lot of element that I take in a way that, you know, there are like small things in the film that are very connected to me or my family. You know, there's a lot of, for example, props and some costumes and some jokes that or parties that I have been, you know, in. So there's a lot of things that, because you probably get all your ideas from others, or, you know, something that has happened to you.
Yeah, that's what I think about as well. Mr. Schoenig is begging me to stop. Mr. Johansson, thank you for your time. I hope when the next movie arrives in Germany, we will meet in person. Thank you for your time. Yeah. Have a great day in Germany.
Thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you. Have a nice day. Bye.
Have a nice day. Bye bye.
Sehr geehrte Damen und Herren, wertes Publikum, liebe Hörende, vielen Dank für eure Aufmerksamkeit und Zeit. Ich hoffe sehr, euch hat gefallen, was ihr gerade gehört habt. Wir, die Redaktion des Telestammtisch, betreiben ein semi-professionelles Podcast-Projekt zum Selbstmitmachen. Also meldet euch bei uns, wir beißen auf. Außerdem freuen wir uns immer über Feedback via Social Media und E-Mail sowie euren finanziellen Support. Ebenso frohlocken wir förmlich über Bewertungen auf den gängigen Podcast-Plattformen. Wer möchte, darf uns gern immer und überall empfehlen. Alle relevanten Links findet ihr in den Shownotes. Vielen Dank und bis zum nächsten Mal. Euer Andi.